Yo, check this out. This is Fresh Fit out the China Man with the 2 Live Crew.
Yo, what's up, y'all? It's me, DMC.
What's up, y'all? This is the Blunt Master P.
Yo, check us out. Chuck the Public Enemy.
Yo, what's up? This is DJ Yella from the world's most dangerous group.
What's up? This is DLC.
This is your boy, C Murder.
This is Jerry Heller, motherfucker.
This is your boy, DJ Paul KOL 365.
Young Busy Ball.
Vice One.
Yo, this is DJ Ready Brand.
What up? This is the real Rick Ross. You listen to me on the Murder Master Music Show.
This is a show that shows no limits, broadcast nothing but the real. Interviews with legendary artists, still got love for the underground feel. Rappers with records, reveal the addition of rappers that are coming up, get them put on. We needed a platform to fight the mainstream. This is the show that you need to be on. Hit up UGS for life on the screen and follow up with it.com. For all of your needs, production and mixing and mastering, graphics, just download the time. Check out the archives and touch with the shows. Plenty of content to view the digs. Everything free to download and stream. Oh, yeah, we deserve the real.
Unstoppable, we beat, we brought our bitch, we represent. All them killers on the mic, and we should love to all your fans. You keep the focus, bringing nothing but the rhythm, coming tuning to the dopest.
I'm a madman, going crazy, knocking all you rappers off. It's underground society, it's beauty, it's a life, dog. Hip hop ain't dead, represent for the legend. Rapping mumble rappers, so we ain't sitting on the hip. Two pocket beats, dreaming, thank you for the bliss. It's a murder master music show. Free the homie gangsta bro. I see these rappers on these streets, I got my job about to blow. Stay up on that raw shit, uncut street shit.
Vanilla song, I see you feeding for the show. Let's get the drum, let's get it on.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's your boy Prez. Welcome to episode 644 of the Murder Master Music Show. If you missed episode 643, that was featuring AMG, you know what I'm saying, out of Compton by way of Cleveland. So make sure to go check out that episode, UGSForLife.com. Tonight we're going to Memphis. You know what I'm saying? We got an underground legend on the show tonight. You know what I'm saying? Lil Jewel. We're going to bring him on and talk about some of his classic tracks. And he came up in an era of so much talent in the city of Memphis. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people get their game from Memphis. I always say there's several places where people get their game from. One of it's being the Bay Area, another one being Houston, another one being Chicago in the Midwest, and one of them definitely Memphis. You know what I'm saying? M-Town has put a lot of different styles on the map that many people are running with today. And the city doesn't get the credit it deserves, but here in the Murder Master Music Show, it always does. I want to thank the homie DJ Lord Sinister. He's going to be on the line with us tonight here in a little bit for setting up this show. Let me bring on Lil Jewel right now. Lil Jewel, what's up, homie?
What up, dope?
Man, welcome to the show, and thank you for taking the time out to talk to us tonight, man. How have you been? You been all right?
Man, first of all, thank y'all for having me, and thank y'all for all the support over the years. Shout out Murder Dog Magazine, my homeboy, J-Dog, is my dude. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, J-Dog.
I've been great, man. Just doing my thing.
Yeah, hell yeah, man. It's good to hear. Yeah, J-Dog. Shout out to J-Dog, man. When I first started writing at Murder Dog, you know what I'm saying, he was there, and I was already familiar with him because of Selecto Hits.
Yeah.
They would send me product back in the day. And plus, J-Dog, he's one of them dudes. He's like Sin. He's a hip-hop encyclopedia. He could talk your head off about anyone from anywhere. You know, so shout out to J-Dog. You know,
yeah, crazy white dude making his way to the hood. This man was in every hood back in the 90s, man. I'm tripping. This man in the hood. He in North Memphis, South Memphis, Whitehaven, Orange Mound. I'm talking about wild.
Yeah. He was gangster walking, too. He was gangster walking.
Yeah.
I seen the video of that. You know what I'm saying? But, man, Memphis, like I was saying at the beginning of the show, so much talent in that city. Man, where do your roots go? And when did you first start coming up putting out tapes, Lil Jewel?
Well, it really, like, my homeboy, Doc T, which is, his name is TP now, but he's on my album, It's My Nature with me, and the remix to R.I.C. for Life. He's on those two songs with me. But he had a rap partner, and they used to just beatbox and hang around and just rap for the girls, and I used to like it, you know, but we was doing our thing, getting our little money and shit, but I'm watching him, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, man, this dude really can rap, so I started just doing it with him, and he went to jail, and I met some people that was close to A-Bog and Jay-Z. You probably heard of Reginald Boyden.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we had him on the show at OTS Records, yeah?
Yeah, shout out OTS. Yeah. And, I instantly just went up there to the studio to just see what they were doing. I was, like, acting like I wanted to, you know, purchase some time, but I really was just, like, trying to learn from them. And a guy named, what's his name, J-Mar or something like that. I can't think of his name, but he was the engineer. And he kind of, like, took a liking to me. Like, you always coming up here. What's going on? He said, man, why don't you try to reach out to Squeaky? So he gave me a DJ Squeaky tape. And I got DJ Squeaky number off of it, and I beeped him. And he called me back. And it went from there. He picked me up in the Cadillac. I jumped in with the family, and I went on Saratoga Street, and I recorded my first song, which was the original R.I.C. for Life. I recorded that one. And once I recorded it, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, what was it like when you met Squeaky, you know what I'm saying? You must have heard about him and everything, and you wanted to work with him. How was he as a person when you first met him?
All right, Squeaky is a cool dude, man. I'm talking about to this day. When I met him, I called him, and he was like, when you want to do it? I'm like, whenever you free. He's like, well, I got some time in a minute. And he pulled up in like an hour. And when I got there, I was so starstruck because I'm sitting there, oh, my God, it's like, here go Michael Street, here go Tom Ski Mads, here go Criminal Mind, here go Thugster, here go Yo Lynch. I'm like, wow, I'm sitting around people I listen to every day, and I hadn't wrote a bar yet. So I'm sitting there like, man, I got to do this, so I got to do it. And I was doing it. I did my thing. And Criminal Mind was like the coach. He was coaching me. He like, nah, say it like this, and just do it like this. And from that recording session right there, I was like part of the family. You know what I'm saying? And so it was like, wow, I'm rolling with these guys. I got on some Criminal Mind song, Luke Grove. Shout out Luke Grove. Shout out Zerk. I helped write a lot of stuff, too, for a lot of people around. Not Krim or nobody like that, but just like people that was around, I helped write a lot.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is, you know what I'm saying, the beginning stages of what Criminal Man was doing, too, wasn't it? And Project Play.
No, Krim. Yeah, but see, it was like that. Krim then was like about 5 or 6 songs deep, and they was already rocking the clubs and the skating ring and all that. And I was just trying to get to their level at that point. And I was just grateful that when I went over, our friendship just bonded like right there. And it was like we became inseparable.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you guys started like it's just a click right away. What about when you first got in the studio making music, man? What was the atmosphere like in the studio? What year was this? Like 94, 93?
It was 94 when I recorded my first album. My first song was 94. And when I got to the studio, it was just like a professional vibe. Like Squeak was in there working. We got guys sitting over here writing, working on their music. And, you know, we did our thing. And, you know, I liked it. And I became really addicted to it from that first time from writing with Squeak.
Yeah. Definitely. Now, Squeaky, yep. I mean, he's a guy that is so talented. I mean, even cats like legendary artists like in other areas, like Sebo has worked with him in Esham, Detroit.
Yeah.
But this is the beginning stage. This is when Memphis is, everybody's putting out tapes at this time. You had Al Capone. Of course, you had, you know what I'm saying, 3-6 and everybody, you had Player Fly.
Yeah.
You know, was there a lot of competition at that time, or was the vibe just more like everybody, let's just make music? You know what I'm saying? What was the atmosphere in Memphis like?
Well, it was like when I first came out, it was like people wasn't like, if you mess with Squeaky, you wasn't allowed to mess with Paul. And you know, it was like I changed it. If you pay attention, they both produced my album together. Squeaky did 2 songs, Paul did 3. You know what I'm saying? So I was like one of the first artists to like how they work together on one project. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. But it was competitive in that
94,
you said?
Yeah, that was 94.
Yeah, and that was unheard of at that time.
It was unheard of. It was like borderline treason. People were looking at it like, man, you can't mess with him and him. I'm like, what you mean, bro? I'm paying these guys to work and do my thing. You know, I wasn't a part of any clique. I wasn't part of 3-6. I wasn't part of the family. We were just cool. Like, you know, I grew up a block away from Lord Infants. Lord Infamous grew up on Victor Street off South Parkway. I grew up on Richmond Street off of Mississippi and South Parkway. You see what I'm saying? So we was always cool.
So you got to know Lord Infamous way back in the day, like before he was even rapping?
Yeah, before I even, you know, I knew he was rapping, but he was like, I was like, they was on some more kind of music to me. I was like always the gangster type rapper, and they was like rapping about other things. So I was like letting them be. But at the same time, when I first went over to Squeaky's house, I came back to Lord Infamous and let him hear the RIC for Life. And he was like, man, you need to remix that. Let Paul do the beat. So he got with Paul, and Paul called me. And I ended up going over to Paul's house with Fly. And we ended up working together. That's where the song came out, Strapped with the Glock, with me and Player Fly.
Wow. Now, that's dope, man. I commend you for doing that because, you know what I'm saying, you're bringing people together and stuff like that. When you put out the tape, what was the perception like? I mean, was Squeaky and Paul cool with it that they were both on the same tape together?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. It was, like, cool, you know, like, because I came to the skating ring one time. DJ Paul was still DJing at the skating ring at this time. And when I came in, he was playing It's My Nature. And that was produced by DJ Squeaky, but it was my song. And I was like, wow. You know what I'm saying? That was cool. And my boy was like, man, I believe y'all gonna get them fools to talk or whatever. But I'm not going to say I'm totally responsible for them talking or coming together and being cool or anything like that, but it was probably one of the first steps because, like 96, they started throwing shows together and you know, like competitive shows, like who the best DJ and all that. They started doing that in, like, 96. So I think I kind of helped bridge that gap. And I introduced Flag Criminal Mind. I introduced Black and Squeaky. I introduced, like, a lot of people. Like I said, I brought some people together in the era, and I'm, you know, it was cool with me. Everybody was cool. There wasn't no beef or nothing like that.
Yeah. And this is the era of the underground tapes in Memphis, too. So all these guys are putting out these legendary tapes that sell for astronomical amounts of money today. How does that make you feel to know that your music is, like, highly sought after by collectors?
Man, I can't think of the dude's name, but he's somewhere in Germany. But he was, like, the first person to hit me up. And, you know, I still talk to Squeaky, you know, a lot today. Matter of fact, today is birthday. Shout out to Big Homie. Happy birthday, Big Dog. You know, I talked to Squeaky and I talked to Zerk a lot about the business side of things. And Zerk was like, really? I think the dude's name's Colin or something like that. But Zerk was like, yeah, man, you need to go ahead and let those people get this and do that and get back on the grind of your older music, too. I ain't saying not work on new music. He's like, but you still got people that's still clamoring for that old Lil Jewel. So you got to give them fans what they want, man. So I've been listening to that, and I've been, like, really going back to the old Jewel, like pulling up old music that people never heard, and I'm trying to get it out there to people now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, most definitely, because they, you know, that stuff, I mean, the people that like them, the Memphis music, you know what I'm saying, whether it be the devil shit or just the crunk, you know, I mean, they'll ride or die for that forever, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, they still like it to this day. What would you say, you know what I'm saying, would be your biggest moment, you know what I'm saying, coming up in Memphis, you know, surrounded by all that talent, you being very talented yourself, man. What were some of the finest moments that you look back at?
Man, like, real talk, like, you know, like, actually gracing the stage and people singing my music back to me. Like, I'm coming on stage and people, like, liking the music and, like, being able to tour with people like DJ Paul and DJ Squeaky and Criminal Mind and Yo Lynch and, you know, Frazier Boy, Chet, you know what I'm saying? All the people I was able to meet around those eras. So it's not, I can't just pinpoint one particular thing because it was all happening so fast. But, you know, I can't pinpoint one thing that I got disappointed about because somebody spoke for me and I wasn't speaking. You know, I think I kind of said it in one of the Facebook posts today. I had an offer on the table from Selecto Hits. And this guy that my uncle had, like, managing me or whatever, he gonna tell these people that I wanted $50,000 or I don't want to talk. So it left Johnny feeling some kind of way. Johnny will never take my calls no more. So I figured out what it was, and he told me what he told him, I instantly fired him and told him, I don't want you. Nothing to do with you ever again, bro. You just cost me what I really was waiting on. I was waiting on that distribution deal from Selecto.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at it right now, what you're talking about, man. And so somebody came in and kind of fucked that deal up for you. What did they badmouth you to Selecto or something?
No, I never gave them people no kind of dollar amount. I just wanted the meeting with Sam. Johnny. I was gonna sit down and talk to Johnny Stevens, you know, and see what he was gonna be able to do. Because I had all my music already. I had everything pressed up, ready to go. I just need a distribution deal. And this guy come in and told these people, I said, give me $50,000. Give me $50,000 for what? Help me get the distribution. We can take care of the money. So, you know, it was a misspoke, and I guess they took it as I thought I was more than everybody else or whatever. And I was like, no, that was totally false. I never said that. I never quoted a price, ever.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, and that's the bad thing about the music industry. Sometimes people, you know what I'm saying, they hear things and it gets twisted around and, you know, it's all fucked up. And but did you end up going with another distributor then, since you didn't go with Selecto?
Or did you put out stuff out? What we ended up doing, man, we had ordered up like 10,000 units, CDs and tapes.
Uh-huh.
So we loaded up the Range Rover and we went to Atlanta. I stayed in Atlanta like 6 months. I had a buzz down there just doing things. You know, I was Ludacris was a DJ at the time, and I think it was 95.3 or something he was working at. But I graced the stage for him. And we talked, and he was like, I'm about to start rapping myself and this, that, and the other. I be in Memphis a lot. You know, but I left my cell phone on the table in Atlanta in a restaurant called Sylvia's, and I had his number in that phone. I lost that phone, and that was their contact. I hadn't heard back from nobody else since.
But without a distributor, you know what I'm saying, even with you doing it on your own, your shit is talked about to this day. You know what I'm saying? And that's a dope accomplishment, man. A lot of these guys now, if you look how much the game has changed, you know, with the internet and stuff, they could put out 100 albums and no one would know who the fuck they are. You guys were putting out underground tapes and cats, you know what I'm saying, revere you guys, legendary artists, man. You guys are what you are, man. Real talk. I want to go back a little bit, though, before we go to our first song. In the beginning, we were talking about, you know, OTS Records. You were going over there and watching people. Were you there at the time Gangster Pat was there in the beginning, or just a few years later?
There was like a couple of years later, like, because Gangster Pat, like, when he jumped off, I was still in high school a little bit. Because, yeah, I was in like 10th grade.
91,
when Pat jumped off. And, I had an opportunity to meet him and talk to him. We actually did a show together for K97 in Whitehaven back in like 99. But me and Pat Cool, we talk all the time.
Yeah.
Shout out to the big homie.
Yeah. He's a good dude. Real good dude. Very talented.
Very talented.
Also,
very talented.
A musician. You know what I'm saying? Cat can play
he's
guitar.
He's
business.
Yeah.
You know. But, man, this is a legendary time to come up in Memphis, man. You know, and you've done stuff, like I said, with Player Fly. Matter of fact, we got the track right now. We're gonna give him this one first. One here is Test My Nuts featuring Player Fly. This one's produced by DJ Paul. Man, before we go into it, break this track down. Like, what was like doing the song and, you know, how long did it take to record? Just give us the info on it.
Well, actually, like I said, I had talked to Lord, and Lord was like, man, I need you to get over Paul, man. I want you to link over Paul. So, Fly, I had seen Fly. We was at KFC on South Parkway, and he was like, I'm finna go with Paul now. I'm like, for real? I said, I need to talk to him. He said, just stay right here. You better pull up. So, he pulled up in the city, and we talked for a minute. He was like, you want to do it now? We come over now. You go with us now. So, I got in the car with him and shot on over there, and me and Fly was talking, and And he was like, what you going to do? I said, I'm going to do a song. I had it in my head called Strap with the Glock. I had, like, if you listen to it, it's, like, sampled a lot. I put all that together myself. Like, I just was telling Paul what to do. Put this in here. I want to sample Black saying this. Because Black was in Atlanta, and I wanted him on the song. But he was in Atlanta at that time. So it just came together, man. You know, fly genius. It ain't take him no time.
Hell yeah. Now, have you seen Paul in like recent years? I had a chance to chop it up with him? Because I know he's been working with other cats. And
yeah, I seen Paul like January of 17 in Vegas. And we didn't have time to just rap. He was good and ready to go to do something in drills. And I was going to do something else with my wife. I was out on vacation with my wife. So I just hollered at him, gave him love. You know, it's always love. No,
yeah. I'd like to see you guys work today. You know what I'm saying? Same with I know you're doing stuff with Squeaky. But it'd be dope to see you do stuff with Paul today too. Let's give him this Don't Test My Nuts, man, right here in the Murder Master View. So a little Jewel, we'll be right back.
A naked scram with the clock and this talk about to shoot the beat. Don't you ever try to catch my naked scrap with the clock and this talk about to shoot the beat. Don't you ever try to catch my nigga strap with the Glock and this talk about to shoot the bitch. Don't you ever try to catch my player strap with the Glock and this talk about to shoot the bitch. Don't you ever try to catch my nuts. Raised on Richmond Street, kick it in South Ward. The plane is about to leave, so bitches come on the board. Two hoes don't want none. Niggas come get you some. Don't come alone, punk. You better bring your fucking gun. I'm high cause I cheap as that. I'm chillin' with Blizzo Mac. We rollin' Rochelle Stein. We drinkin' the pain of yak. These niggas ain't really shit. They cross me out over bitch. I'm keeping my fucking cool. My mind is about to click. I'm high as a motherfucker. I'm ready to kill a sucker. I'm fine as fucking tone. As soon as I see that buster, these niggas can't fade me. A hoe can't break me. I know I'm a player fool. I buck hoes daily. I'm rapping off this motherfucking beat by the triple C. Blood that was born in me. I'm frizzed out with my glizzy bitch. Test my nuts, Anna's what I'm thinking be. STV, we strapping with them blocks, down with RIC. Clicking on you suckers, talking shit about a funky hoe. Stick that tone up to your dome and lay your bitch ass on the floor. Motherfuckers talking shit, Anna got me clicking. Let me jealous, calm, catching niggas, busters trying to test my pimping. Mega block, they got me blinking, thinking of another flow. Expose you, buster sucker hoe. My nigga Jewel up in this hoe. Richmond Street and all is click. Devil blood of triple six. Time to diss a funky hoe. You know you suck, love, play your dick. Oh, you wanna play some game? Now you know I've had enough. Go and get those tears out with that Glock. Pop you in your gut. I don't give a fuck because you hot. So get off my jock. Keep on spreading fucking rumors. Then I'm knocking off your socks. So show your ass around your folks. But you better not get so fucked up when you see black skin and green. Bitch, look black, gon' touch your nuts. Trigger on this buster.
cross out at this rich, my nigga. Let me beat my roadie, man. Tell him to bring my fucking gun. Shot up, bust a trick ass nigga. Now I'm on the fucking run. Running for my life, I cannot stop. The boats are coming, G. 25 cops strapped with gas trying to kill me.
Put the Glock in this car, about to shoot the bitch.
A nigga strap.
Put the Glock in this car, about to shoot the bitch. Don't you ever try to kiss my
nigga. A nigga strizz out.
Put the Glock in this car, about to shoot the bitch. Don't you ever try to kiss my
nigga strap.
Put the Glock in this car, about to shoot the
bitch. You weak ass nigga.
Don't you ever try to kiss my nuts.
Yeah, we're back here, Murder Master Music Show, episode 643 with Lil Jewel. We're going to bring him on. Man, that's dope. That's always good to hear that. A lot of guys like Zerk and other cats, I've seen the homie Two Tone, they start pressing up tapes and stuff again. It's starting to come back. You ever think about repressing some of your old classic tapes?
Of course, man. Me and Zerk talk about it all the time, man. You know, like Zerk, me, Zerk, and Primo, we talk all the time. Primo, that's my boy, man. It's like a brother to me. You know, we talk all the time, and that's the main thing we talk about is like giving the fans what they want. You know, like bringing it back. Or, you know, because I was saying I was actually talking to the Colin guy about pressing up some tapes and, you know, like getting them to these people. Like, he was saying something about Japan got a big market and they want a lot of Memphis rap. And I'm like, I'm down.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm down. I mean, you can do tours overseas. You can, I mean, the music over there is brand new to some of these guys, you know?
Yeah, brand new.
You know? And then not to mention, we know you got music, you know what I'm saying, new music as well. I mean, it's a good time, you know what I'm saying, for artists right now that are from your era. One thing I did want to ask you before I bring on the homie Sin and turn it over to him is, man, Devil Shit is something that, man, it's got a cult following, pardon the pun, but it does, you know what I'm saying. Man, how would you describe, you know what I'm saying, Devil Shit and the impact that it's had on the underground rap scene?
Well, you know, like I said, that's like I used to listen to Lord, you know, before him and Paul just really took off with the music like that. That's all Lord used to rap about. So I was like, man, you're going to blow with this one day, man, because he was a tongue twister before I even heard of anybody doing it. This man was tongue twisting. Like, well, what the fuck are you saying? Excuse my language. Can I curse?
Yeah. It's all good. You can curse.
Yeah. I was like, bro, what the hell are you saying? Nobody know what you saying. You got to slow down so people can hear. You going to twist that people hear it. He was like, man, they going to catch on. And I was like, okay, then. So, but, you know, to make a long story short, that devil music was real cool, man. You know, like, it was cool. I listened to it. It just wasn't me. I'm one of those guys that I stayed in my lane. I rapped about what I rapped about. You know, and, you know, like, Tommy Wright, you know, I did songs with him. He was on that, too. He was cheering another corn. He was shit, you know, but that's my dude right to this day.
Definitely.
His song coming up. I'll be mentoring his song and talking to him about it, you know.
See the Six, man. Those guys are really, and, you know, we interviewed them right when they were starting out. And to see how far they've gone. And plus, I like the fact that Paul, he let them do their own thing first and grow.
Yeah.
Artists.
Yeah. That was all by design.
Yeah.
Like I was telling, because Paul Nephew, not Lord's son, but Paul Nephew, he, I can't think of his name. Ricky? No, that's
yeah,
Lord's
Ricky.
Son,
yeah. Loco Dunnett. Yep.
Loco Dunnett, yeah. I used to see him all the time at, like, gas stations, and he'd be out here hustling his music. And, you know, he was telling me that him and Lil Lord was for the link up. And I was like, just stay with it, man. Something in the end going to come for you. I said, I trust you. I said, Big Unk know what you're doing. He's just watching you. He don't want to try to take over what you're doing. But when you need his help, he's going to be there for you. I promise you that. And that's exactly what happened.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, man. That's what I'm talking about. Well, I'll tell you what, man. Let me bring on the man that helped set this show up tonight, the one and only DJ Lord Sinister of France. Let me bring him on so he can chop it up with you, man. Sin, you there, brother?
Yes, sir, Scott. Hi, 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 little Drew.
What's going on, my man?
Yeah, I'm fine, I'm fine. All right, it's good. It's an honor to have you on the show.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. You was around the wraparound of Lil Bro, Carmike, Lil No, Lil G, and, you know, Lil Black, I said, with Eden So G. It was a time you was all in, like, in 666 Mafia, because a lot of people don't know, but all them, Evan Carmike, all that, it was a 666 Mafia era. Can you tell us about this era? The rapper was around this time, 94, 95, you know, with Lil No, Carmike.
Yeah, I was I'm cool with Carmike. We got a lot of mutual friends, and you know, I don't talk to him that much, but I talked to him, like, I think he just came home from prison a few years ago or something, and I think, like, right when he came home, we bumped into each other somewhere. I think it was with LeChat. But anyway, yeah, he's a cool dude, but I don't know him like that. But Lenore is like a homie of mine. You know, we talked and we did things together back in the 90s before he went to the penitentiary or whatever. But, you know, Lenore is a cool dude. I always have been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got Lug and SOG was around UCG and all this time. You know, Homicide, even Homicide back in the day, it was Backyard Pussy. But it was before
yeah,
he was with them. Homicide, I have a lot of story to tell to the early
Homicide
days.
They don't call them Homicide for nothing.
Yeah. Even D-Magic and Juicy J were where they was in Juicy G's place. Did you have the chance to know this time back in the day with D-Magic?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, in Juicy G's place.
Yeah, Juicy, I never really had a relationship with Juicy like that, but I met him a few times, and, you know, we just sat around and talked. Like, one time I was over at Paul's house, and he was, you know, doing some music at Paul's house, and Juicy was there, and, you know, that was around the time when they was recording Mystic Style, and I was finishing up my album that I was working on, and, you know, we would talk or whatever, but I never had an opportunity to literally work with Juicy J.
Yeah. At the time, the clubs was very hot. It was the DJ Plus Playhouse, Club Expo, Club No Name. It was a very big time for the clubs, even the CGOG in 380 Bill Street. By the day, I was in Memphis by the day at the time, in 95, and it was the craziest club. Can you tell us about the club
Bill,
by the day?
380 Bill was the club. That was the club that used to be at 380 Bill on Bill Street.
Yeah. It was a Muhammad Hadi Terrator before.
He's
destroyed now. He's destroyed now. He destroyed it. Yeah. And can you tell us about how it was to record with Lil Fly, aka Player Fly? He's a lyricist. Did you have the chance to make maybe something after with him or something?
Well, you know, like with the thing with Player Fly and myself, you know, of course it was a very big, like, misunderstanding where people thought that me and Fly was into it, but it wasn't. It was like I got into it with some guys that he was working with at that time, and he let them rap what they rapped or whatever. And I'm a big boy. I don't care nothing about that. I know what I do. I'm going to handle mine in the streets. You can rap about it. I'm going to see you. You're going to talk about it in face to face. You're going to smell my cologne like Pimp C said. You see what I'm saying? So, you know, but me personally, me and Fly, we don't have no problems at all. His family is like my family. Today is Uncle Ricky's birthday. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to Ricky Fish, South Memphis Liz. You know what I'm saying? There's no problem with me and Player Fly at all.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Zero.
You got a song also with Tommy Walter III, with Rex Shawn. It was Insane in the Brain. It was a crazy song. Can you tell us about this song with Tommy Wright?
The song I got with Tommy Wright was it came about, like, you know, he called me one day, you know, and he was like, "Man, Jewel, what's up, man? We got a mutual friend that introduced us. He was Project Pimp, Lil Ed, Project, it was Project something, but Lil Ed, that's my homie. We went to Southside High together and all that. But he was the one that bridged the gap with me and Tommy Wright. And Tommy Wright pulled up on me like, look, I want you to do a song with me. Let's do it. And, you know, let's go. And that's how that song came about. And I also took my little protege, Rob, with us. Put Rob on that song, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. You got two different producers with Squeaky and Paul. For you, what was the difference in production distinctive, in fact, the difference in music in production between Paul and Squeaky?
What's the difference in the beats?
I tell about the style of production. Can you tell us about the difference or something you feel?
Well,
because I hate you of Squeaky. It was a metal production of piano. It was very deep. It was very low.
He used a lot.
It was crazy production.
Yeah, the only difference between them though is like Squeaky used those hi hats, and he got his own. He used a whole lot of 808. He's the 808 king. You know what I'm saying? So that separates them from Nick. But they both are like super producers to me. You know, I was like, I'm honored to even say they produced my album. You know, but Paul is more of a crunk beat maker. He wanted to make you move and dance a lot. You see what I'm saying? And Squeaky is like a soulful. Like if you listen to a lot of 8-Ball and MJC tracks, Squeaky made those tracks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was more his homeboy. Yeah.
More funk, gamble funk.
Yeah,
that's why they go to
Suave House after. Yeah, Suave House. Squeaky worked for Suave House too.
Yeah. And by the way, when you go to also OTS all that? Yes, you talked about Reginald Boyland. Did you go to the studio too? By the day.
Yeah, I
went times at Al Capone, Man of the Hour.
Even
Ed Bowl and Jab G call it DUA at this time.
Al Capone is from my neighborhood. We live right down the street on a street called Wicks off of Mississippi Boulevard. And I grew up on Richmond Street off of Mississippi Boulevard. So we was like around the time when Lyrical Drive-By came out or whatever, I was in the midst of writing music and getting myself together to become a rapper. But I used to, like I said, listen to people like Scarface, Al Capone, Gangsta Pat, mm-hmm. Gangsta Black, Fly, you know. And even what's my guy's name? Lil Glock and S.O.G. Those were two of my favorites. I never got to meet these guys, but those were two of my favorites. I used to just ride and listen to their music, man. They were so dope to me.
Yeah. At this time, you got also underrated producer. Like, you talking about Children of the Crown with my homie Lil Grimm. Lil Grimm is very dope too, but it's a DJ Sound too. Yeah.
DJ Sound?
Yeah, he's dope too. That's producer.
Yeah,
like Lil Grimm.
Sound them. They from the South too. They cool. You know, like it was so many people out doing this music back then, and so many people that could have made it. It's like a lot of people just, I don't know, I can't say people gave up or whatever. It's just people like life probably took over. You know, like, hey man, I got to do this to make these lights stay on or whatever. People like a lot of people just didn't stay with the music. You know what I'm saying? You know, like me, because I eventually walked away. Like I was telling my man earlier, when that deal with Selecto fell through for me, I was like really mad at the world. So I had some music that I had to go ahead and put out. But once I put that album out, I sat back for like 5 or 6 years, and I was mad at the world. Like, I'm like, man, this man fucked me out of a distribution deal. I can't believe this. So I was like really throw back from the music for a minute. But one chance reunion with Gangsta Black, and that was it. He was like, man, come on, let's do it. So I got back in with him. Yep.
Yeah. You got an album also distributed by Selecto Hits. It was in 99. It was still tugging. And
the single was
True Baller for Life.
True Baller for Life, me and Black. But Selecto never distributed their album for me, though. I was at the offices a lot. They never distributed that album. We did it ourselves. We moved 40,000 units out the truck.
Okay, right. And you got a featuring with Gangsta Black also on this one?
Yeah. Two Balls of Life.
How it was to record with him?
Well, Black is like, you know, I've been knowing Black since kindergarten. We grew up together, like grew up all the way from Orleans Elementary, Lincoln Junior High School, Southside High School. So it was like he was always like my big brother. So he always like he would coach me. He was coaching me. Like I would sit there. I sat like on his album Can It Be. I was like a student. I sat there and watched him write, like literally write 5 to 6 of those songs on his grandmother's front porch. You see what I'm saying? So it was always a blessing to work with Gangsta Black and to watch him work because he's such a professional. And like Fly, he's a genius when it comes down to making songs and shit.
Yeah.
He's a real genius when it comes down to it.
Yeah, it was a dope album too. You guys, Absence of Knowledge song also. And a dope song. It was more funk of the 99-98 era. So, and the producer was Carlos Pickens, right? The producer for the whole album.
Yeah, Carlos produced their whole album itself for their last song on there, which is Still Thuggin'
Remix.
Yeah,
Easy Rock.
Easy Rock.
Easy Rock
did that one. Yeah.
Still Thuggin' Remix, yeah. And where you recorded this album? In fact, it was a studio, or it was at what studio back in the day in Memphis?
Well, my uncle had really like for that album. My uncle invested a whole lot in me. He bought me a studio. He bought me my own studio, and he paid Carlos Pickens to just produce that whole album for me. You know, and me and Carlos like worked on that album for like 2 months, and we got that album tight. And you know, he brought Easy Rock in that last day. Like, man, look, I want you to remix that Still Thuggin' album. And I want you to do it to this beat because it was like a 3-6 beat. Easy Rock actually said he made the beat for DJ Paul, and they didn't want it. So I like, give it to me. I want it. And I took it and ran with it.
Yep. Yeah. And after you go, you go with other songs, even recently. Can you tell us about what you do now and these days around?
Okay, right. Today, what I do now, I got 2 nephews that I'm really trying to polish and bring into the business. You know, they want to do their own thing, but I'm like taking the DJ Paul approach. I'm letting them do their own thing first. But I do have my own company, Bean Boys Entertainment, and I have a mixtape. I got a mixtape coming out, which is Volume 2. I think I sent you the tracks to those. I got Frank Jack for Beats Volume 2. That's coming out in probably like 2 months, and then after that, I'm gonna drop an EP of Street Nigga. It's called Street Nigga, the EP. I'm gonna drop that, and I'm gonna kind of sit back for a second and, you know, like only do features or whatever. And let my nephew and them kind of get some light. But I'm going to sit back and get the executive side of for a minute.
Yeah. And back the day also, you have a different name, Macule or Jules. There was a misprint on your name because a lot of people now on the internet put Lil Jules with only you. But in fact, you have the Y. It was on the stage back in the day.
It was a mistake. Yeah, RSC for Life, that was a mistake. But, you know, we was like, people were ordering them. Like, you know, like, we were selling our music at these stereo stores. So, like, I had, like, 10 different stores wanting these albums. So, when the guy who pressed it up for me, I never even looked at it until I put them in the store. Once I came back to a store and seen, I'm like, damn, my name's still wrong. But it was too late, so we didn't even do nothing about it. We just let it go.
Yeah.
So we couldn't even. We didn't have time to even go back over it. So we just ran with it like this. But like I said, that album right there was one of the most bootleg albums I've ever seen in my life. I used to go in stores like in Mississippi or Arkansas, and I see like 45, 50 of my tapes in there. You know how many times I had to take those tapes out of stores and fight for my shit? Like, man, you got me fucked up. You know what I'm saying? You know how many times I had to do that? That was crazy, man.
Yeah, a lot of people, even in Germany or around, it's crazy for this tape Ashes to Ashes. And even they do graphics on it, a lot of
stuff.
Yeah. It's a new for Europe, but it's a new style for Europe. But it's back in the day, it was a real Memphis.
Yeah, man. A lot has changed, though. A lot has changed.
Yeah. And what was your think about the Memphis days now and the Memphis rap now nowadays?
I see a lot of similarities in the guys that's out now. They're like with us, you know, it's just a different level. They're just on a different level. Like, you know, we didn't have Facebook and all that back then. But, like, now, it's easier, you know. Like, people can like, you can link up with people way in Germany. Like, it's taken me almost 25 years to know that people in Germany want my music. You see what I'm saying? But now you got people like Moneybagg can put out a song tonight, and everybody in Germany playing it 2 hours after he dropped it. You see what I'm saying? So it's really good, and I'm kind of proud. I'm proud of everybody who's doing their thing now, because nobody's really giving us a bad name with it, you know. Only thing I hate is all this King of Memphis shit. Ain't nobody the King of Memphis. Nobody. Stop it.
Yeah. You got a song, Free Smoke. Can you tell us about this one? It's a dope song.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Can you tell us about this song?
Well, Free Smoke, it actually came out. I actually just dropped it like a year ago. And it was like it's a battle, it's a beef rap. It's like it's a diss track, you know. Like, I had a little health complications a couple of years back, and I had to, you know, get some teeth pulled out of my mouth, you know. And so I was sitting around, you know, like really recovering from it, and I was like people would tell me like, man, go online, this guy constantly taking shots at you, this guy constantly taking shots at you. So I go online and I see who it is. It's somebody who I put in the rap game. I'm like, how the hell are you gonna do that? You know, so I kind of, like, try to talk to the dude about it, you know, and it's like, before I look up, somebody emailed me a snippet. He did like, a half a verse talking bad about me. So I said, okay, I'm going to show dude why they called me a goat. So I just went on and did this. I took Drake beat off of what's his name, Travis Scott. I took that beat, and I just went in and wrote. It was like, man, I'm going to shut this dude up, and I ain't going to talk about it no more. And I just dropped the song, and it blew up. I got a video to it on YouTube, too.
Yeah. I got a video, too, yeah. It's a dope song, yeah.
Appreciate that, cool, man.
Yeah. We would play with Don't Go Nowhere, and we come back on the show.
Yeah.
We come back.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to a track. We got another track we're going to go to, man. Man, it's been dope listening to you guys chop it up. But let's give him another track, Lil Jewel, then we're going to come back and close it out, chop it up a little bit more. But this is the DJ Squeaky track, Do I Hate You, Man. Why don't you tell everybody about this one as we go into it?
Man, this is a song. My partner, Tody, TP, he wrote this song because this was something he wrote it in jail. And he was like, man, I want you to get on it with me. And I really didn't have nothing wrote for it, so I slick kind of freestyle the whole song. But it was a dope song, and it became an anthem. And I used to, like, everybody still love this song today. So shout out to my brother, TP, man. Free You, Hurry Up, Come On, Big Bro. Do I Hate You, Man. It was a dope song. I love the pianos and stuff. Squeak is a dope dude, man. Appreciate it. Shout out to Squeak.
Hell yeah, man. And happy birthday to Squeak. We'll be right back. You know what I'm saying? This one a little bit long, about 7 minutes. So enjoy it. We'll be right back. You got a new track from Lil Jewel to play, too. So don't go nowhere.
Bet.
Do I hate to do it? 20 purse. Niggas think I'm a hoe, cause I ain't with that bullshit. Run across that RIC, you get your fucking wig split. Rolling through the RIC, checking on my crack cell. One of my niggas say my shit is booming so fucking well. I'm happy as a faggot with a bag full of dicks. I got my Nina cock in case these bitches pull some tricks. I'm balling kinda heavy cause I heard they was after me. Bucking all these busted bitches, police niggas can't capture me. Getting to my crib of looking since I see some heads. I got a funny feeling, it's the motherfucking feds. I jump back in the Chevy, but it's still too late. Cause that police bitch put that chrome to my motherfucking face. I'm fucked down, I'm locked down, nobody can escape me. It's in my motherfucking
nature. Do I hate you? Do I hate you? It's my nature. It's my nature. Do I hate you? Do I hate you? It's my nature. It's my nature.
RIC is in my blood.
RIC is in my blood. Do I hate you? Do I hate you? Do I hate you? It's my nature.
RIC is in my blood.
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 There we have it, folks. You know what I'm saying? That's a little jewel right there, classic one produced by DJ Squeaky. You know what I'm saying? Do I hate you? Let's bring Little Jewel back on because I want to give you the platform, Little Jewel, to let everybody know, you know what I'm saying, what you got coming out and you know what we can look forward to. You got anything in the works right now?
Yeah. Like I was telling my man Finn, I got Young Frank Jackson for Beats Volume 2. The mixtape is coming out probably about the next month or so. I was trying to get it done before the holidays. Well, we'll be out before the holidays, and then right after that, like 2020, I'm gonna drop my my EP. I got an EP coming out called Street Nigga, and I'm gonna drop that. And I'm gonna lay back for a second and, you know, try to get in on some tours, get some tours going. Like, you know, people want to see me, so I want to come see them.
Yeah, absolutely, man, absolutely. And that's the beautiful thing about technology. I know the game is fucked up on some aspects, you know what I'm saying, because back in the day, you know, you're selling tapes out the trunk or whatnot, you know what I'm saying, the internet kind of fucked up the mom-and-pop stores, you know, all of them are pretty much closed down. But there's other advantages, you know, and meeting people all over the world is one of them. I want to thank the homie DJ Lord Sinister for setting up this show, hell of a show. And I want to thank you, Little Jewel, man. It's been an honor, privilege to add you to our archive. And before we get out of here, you know what I'm saying, we're going to give him this song called Free Smoke. I'm going to let you introduce that.
Yeah.
But before you do, man, let everybody know your contact, man, if they want to get verses or shows or anything of that nature, brother.
What up? Yeah, man. Anybody out there, you want to get in touch with me, you can hit me up on Facebook, Jewel Young Frank Chris, you know. And you can hit me up on Twitter at Mac9901. Facebook me, Instagram, Mac9901. It's MACMANE 901. My email address, for anybody want to send me some beats or want me to jump on something, you can email me at DAMACMANE901@gmail.com. Or, you know, You can email me or you can send me messages or whatever. But I also give out my personal cell phone number because I'm a businessman. My cell phone number is 901-747-8797. Strict to business. Don't call me with no bullshit, man.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Don't be hitting up the man and with no fuck shit, because that does happen, you know what I'm saying, from time to time with all of us in this game, man. It seems like for me it happens on the fucking daily. But, you know, we do what we got to do, man.
Yeah.
We're in this game because we love the music. And let's give them some. Let's give them some more, man. This is some new stuff right here, man. Free Smoke, man. Why don't you tell everybody about this one?
Yeah, this Free Smoke. It's a little freestyle out there. You know, it was like a nigga hit me. I had to hit him back, man. This is on my upcoming mixtape, Jack for Beats Volume 2, Young Frank Jack for Beats Volume 2. And this is Free Smoke, baby. Let's get it.
Hell yeah, hell yeah, man. Everybody, we're signing out. You know what I'm saying? Enjoy this track. Yeah, we'll see you real soon. You know what I'm saying? Murder Master Music Show.
Yes,
sir. MGSforLife.com.
Get my mind right.
Yes, sir.
Fuck
yeah.
You talking about, nigga? Fiend boy forever. Free smoke, AK, not a Draco. Round for days like Waco. My niggas bust when I say so.
Yeah.
I'm a boss, little nigga. Matter of fact, you know that. Keep talking all that bullshit. Send a cover shot through your snapback.
Yeah.
Pussy niggas, they kill me. Talking shit on Facebook.
Fuck.
Run up on them in real life. His pussy ass get shook.
Rich.
Woo! Free smoke. Pussy nigga, you a hoe. Hating on me when I'm down bad, but I'm still getting that dope. What's beef, nigga? We beefing, nigga. I'm killing everything you love.
Maria.
I'm a mob nigga with gang ties, doing everything with love.
Gang.
Free smoke.
Gang.
20 gauge on the back seat, riding around my heelers with a fault under my white tee. Put the rim down for a minute. Gotta get my mind right.
Cook,
pull up on him in broad day,
yeah.
Cause his lights off
yeah.
Like midnight.
Yeah.
I'm a made nigga, bitch boy. Run up on me like you say so. Cook your ass like yeah, yo. Keep a ass kicker. Fuck your Draco. AK, that's a ass kicker.
Yeah.
Shoot it out like the clock
yeah,
ticking.
Yeah.
A minute pass, I'm still licking. Add out, yo niggas, bitches. Don't worry about no beef.
Fuck them
beef,
niggas,
worry
man.
About me. 10 bowls in a rental car, keep steaks off of that beat.
10 bowls.
Free smoke. And I ain't talking about no weed, nigga. Spitting bars on you, nigga. But my finger on that trigger, nigga.
Yeah.
Free smoke.
Yeah.
Pussy nigga, you a joke. Crying to me about another nigga cause he wouldn't drop your smoke.
I'm
really tripping right now. This sucker got me all off my square. Couldn't help but retaliate with all this honor in the air. I'm a bang boy. I don't fuck with suckers. And Alex Luger, I'm sucker ducking. RIC, I'm the mayor, dude. Real nigga with an attitude. I'm playing for keeps in these pussies. Nigga, you a big rookie.
Fuck.
All you got is a half a verse. Nigga, you a big pussy.
Free smoke.
Any nigga can get it.
Free smoke.
Jumping in my business, dude. If you really wanna come get it.
Yeah.
Free smoke.
Yeah.
Jealous bitches,
yeah.
They kill me.
Yeah.
Acting like they got real beef, but won't even come nowhere near me.
Free smoke.
You niggas know I'm a mob nigga. Pull up like it's a three-pointer. Fought a Glock in my heel figure. Ride around, I'm clean. But in the inside, this 430 is a fought a Glock with a beam. Pussy. Yeah, free smoke.
Yeah.
You niggas don't wanna see
free
me
smoke.
In real life like 3D. You niggas act like TV. Free smoke. Dirt around for the haters. Real shooter, I'm a Haitian. It's free smoke for my haters. Free smoke.
These niggas
Bang
ready
boy
to
the
shit,
death
man.
For me, nigga. Yeah.